Welcome to the Home Building Hero, where we help you become the hero of your new home by providing you all the information that you need. No matter if you're an industry pro, you're building, or you're buying, we got you covered here at the Home Building Hero. We're coming to you live today from the LP Studios here in Wisconsin. I'm your host, David Bellman, president of Bellman Homes. Thank you for tuning in today. All right, thanks for tuning in, everybody. Today, we're going to be talking about the rent-to-buy gap in new homes. This is pretty crazy stuff. Got some recent economic data and found a really cool source for info from our friends at Zillow. And I started digging into this information right away when I saw it. I was like, oh, man, this is cool. This is going to be one of my new favorite sites to check out in the future. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit. But there's a growing gap for renters of property and a big challenge for them to become homeowners in the future. So we're going to talk about why this is, specifically in our market here in Wisconsin, but also around the country, how this affects people. And then also give you guys some other economic data here on the housing market. We'll save some of it for more of a Q3 economic report, but let's talk specifically about the renting and buying specifically, because it's pretty interesting stuff. All right. If you're a renter, you've seen your rental rates increase. You've probably saw high occupancy rates. So if you were moving and trying to find an apartment, it was hard to get into some, right? A lot of them were at 95, 98% occupancy. And it was hard for people to find a decent apartment. And although they're building a lot of them, they're filling up just as quickly. So something kind of interesting with rental is what's happened with the cost of rent. And we're going to look specifically in the Milwaukee market for this. So let's look at how the pandemic affected rental rates, because, you know, there's not a lot of data out there on it, but I have some here and it's pretty interesting. So in January of 2020 in Milwaukee, the average aggregate rent was $1,105. So they just aggregate all the rental costs. We don't really go specific into how many, you know, one bedroom, two bedroom apartment, anything like that. Just aggregate rent, $1,105. That number has climbed since the pandemic. As of recently, the last data that we have, August of 2023, the average aggregate rent, $1,350. Wow. It's a pretty big increase, 22% to be exact. So that's a lot of money, and that's a big increase. Now, when you're paying that much more for rent, 22% more for rent, that starts to take away what you can save to eventually buy a home. Because a lot of people that rent, that's their goal, eventually buy a home. So there's that challenge. The cost of rent is going up. As we know, when you rent, that money just goes to your landlord. It doesn't go into any kind of savings account. It doesn't go into equity. Just kind of, as we say, pissed out the window. Okay. It is what it is, right? So I always encourage people, you know, buy a home as soon as you can. Don't waste money on rent. Here's where it gets worse. This is why we've got a problem here. Here in Wisconsin, let's look at the home values since COVID started. So January 2020, kind of right before everything really dropped on the COVID thing, the average sale price of a home in Wisconsin was $242,100 average sale price for a home. Flash forward to current times here, August 2023, $334,400 average sale price in Milwaukee. 38% increase. Wow, 38%. So rental rates going up 22%, but home costs going up 38%. Guess what? If you're renting, you're falling further behind. You're falling way behind. And that's just in Milwaukee. If we start looking at nationally, it's even worse. Let's just talk about that. There's another stat that's pretty interesting. And it's the share of income that you need to save for a down payment on a home. So what they did is they did this study all over the United States, all the big cities around the United States. And they show how much money, how much percentage of your money you have to save to get an earnest money deposit to buy a median priced home. And they've got stats from all over the country. So we're going to hit a few of those stats. So of course, I'm going to start locally here. You need 23.2% of your income to save enough earnest money to afford a home. Okay, 23%. So you got to look at nearly a quarter of whatever you bring in, you got to put aside to eventually buy a home after you take out rent and food and all the other things. But how does that compare to other parts of the country? So what I did is I kind of jumped around and got a couple of the key players all around the United States so we can see how my home state compares. Well, California, I looked at a bunch of the big cities around there. It hops anywhere from 28 to 35%. So we're just going to say around 30% of your income has to be put aside to afford a home. So nearly a third. Whew, that's a lot of money. Let's go down to Arizona, huge, humongous housing market. Also 30% of your income has to be set aside to afford that down payment. Let's go down to Austin, Texas. That's a pretty hot market, and we're seeing why. 26%. So still higher than Milwaukee, but it's a hot market. Let's go up to or down to our neighbors in Chicago. They're higher than us. 29% of your income has to be saved off to afford a down payment on a home. All right. Let's look at Atlanta, 30%. So again, Milwaukee's looking pretty good so far at their 23%. So if you're looking for somewhere that's a little more affordable, check out Milwaukee. We're there. Florida, right? Huge, huge building market as well. Tampa, very popular right now, 40%. Prices have skyrocketed there. And then all the disaster relief stuff with the hurricanes and things, insurance rates, making it harder and harder to afford a home there. And then we go up the coast a little bit, North Carolina at 31%. Carolinas are a very huge housing market as well. And kind of surprising because you need that much money to get you going there. So Milwaukee's looking pretty good. If you're looking for a house, if you're looking for a place to live where you can get a little bit further ahead, we're not too bad here. Now, the next thing that they look at with this data, which is even more interesting, is how many years does it take for you to get your 10% down to buy that median home? How many years, okay? So here in Milwaukee, it's 9.4 years to get 10% down to buy a median priced home. It'll take you 9.5 years, pretty much. That's a pretty long time. Now, how does that compare around the country? Well, we'll go back to those same markets we mentioned before. California, anywhere from 13 to 19 years, depending on what city in California you're in. Wow. Could you imagine having to save up for 20 years just to get a down payment for a house? And then you got to take a 30-year mortgage out. You're going to be dead by the time that all happens. That's crazy. Arizona, 11.9 years, longer than Milwaukee. Austin, Texas, as we mentioned before, 10.8 years. Fairly close there. This one's surprising to me. Chicago is only 7.5 years. Now, that has to be just because there's a lot of big businesses and industry in Chicago. So perhaps the wages are much higher there, which makes that a little bit more realistic. I think also there's been a big exodus out of Chicago, and I think the property values are probably a lot less there. So it's actually kind of made the dynamic a little more favorable. So if you can get a good job there, might not be a bad option. Or another great option, this is another really hot housing market, is Indianapolis. I did not look at them for the percentage, but they're at 7.5 years to get your down payment. That looks a lot better. And they certainly have a lot of industry going on there as well. All right. Let's look at Atlanta. Atlanta, 9.6 years. So pretty close to Milwaukee there. Again, they have a lot of industry, a lot of businesses. They have a pretty robust housing market there as well, and a lot of building. You can build there all year, so that makes a lot of sense. And then Tampa, Florida, 11.7 years. So Not quite as bad as our friends over in California, but that's still getting up there. When you get over 10 years, boy, that's a long time to have to save just to buy a house. And then North Carolina, 9.9 years. It's pretty crazy when you think about it. You step back from this and you say you've got a younger person that's just getting out of college and they got maybe college debt. You have your rent that you've got to pay. Cost of food has went up. The cost of everything's went up. And then to see that amount of time and that much of your income has to be dedicated, boy, you have to really plan your finances very well if you're a younger person these days to make sure that you can afford that home. You have to be careful at when you need a quarter of your income roughly to be set aside for down payment. You've got to be very intentional about where your dollars are going, and you've got to be careful about those extra expenses, all those little things, your streaming service, your iPhone, the going out to eat, the movies, the concerts, all that kind of stuff. Got to really watch that, because if you do want the American dream of a home, you're going to really have to start saving and save early, because that gap is getting bigger and bigger. Not only the cost of rent keeps going up, which makes that even harder for you, but not just the cost of rent, but then the cost of the new home shooting up as fast as it is as well. You're only going to get further behind. So start saving early and often if you want to buy that new home. Once again, thank you for tuning in to The Home Building Hero, broadcasting live from the Bellman Home Studio. If you haven't already, please make sure to give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts and make sure to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any future content. Until next time, I'm David Bellman, signing off.